The Book of Visions. Quote, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Proverbs 29, verse 18. Here's the summary. There are only two ways to go through life, one positive and the other negative. The principles remain constant. It is how we apply them that differs. I saw this illustrated clearly in a vision which then went on to become the side dream. In this book, I tell of the vision that I saw and the one that I see now. It is a vision of a life more complete and beautiful for all. Men and women have seen visions and dreamed dreams since time began. The ancients recorded them on stone tablets and cave walls. They wrote them on a parchment and passed them as legends to their descendants. Today we gaze at the walls and the stones and listen to the legends but do not comprehend. The old visions seem but fantasies without meaning, the mental wanderings of those long dead. The symbols no longer convey meaning, so we suppose there was no meaning. That is our error, not realizing we now have everything and always have had everything. We look to the future. Not believing all is within, we seek the external. Not trusting our intuitive knowing, we demand more signs, symbols, and visions. Then we take these signs, symbols, and visions when they come and claim they are the answers. They are not the answer, but rather holes in the darkness which covers mankind, holes through which the light, truth, can shine forth. Someday there will be no more darkness. Then man will know that the answer to life is life, and visions are reality. What is a vision? A vision is a revelation of a truth. It is the truth given to us in our own terms and our own symbols. Thus, it is not the symbols which are important, but rather the truth behind the symbols. That truth is constant and universal. It must be to be the truth. The symbols are our representation of that truth in our experience. Would you speak to a Greek peasant in English or to an American youth in Swahili? Of course not, for they would not understand. Each needs an interpreter to comprehend the message. So it is with truth. Each must hear it in his own language. Each race must see it in his own heritage. Each nation must see it in its own soul. Your visions as a person, race, or nation are your truth messages. Why not listen to them? Who has visions? Everyone. Are you really any different from the man next door? Are you different from the woman down the street? Are you any better or worse than the child in India or the man in Africa? Are you someone special and they are not? Or are they special and you not? Are you truly different from me? No, no, no. What one is, all are. What one has, all have. If one has visions, then so must all have visions. All do have visions, only some do not recognize them. Do you choose to recognize your visions? How do I know if what I experience is a vision? If you must ask, then it is not. A vision taps a truth deep within. It's like boring a well into the earth in search of water. On the surface, there may be no indication of what lies beneath. It may be desert or parched ground which never sees rainfall. In faith, we drill deeper and deeper until we find pure, sweet water. The water, that which was hidden beneath, now has a path to the surface. We know the water exists below because it comes to the surface. The water itself is the proof. The surface is our consciousness. The well shaft is the vision. The water is the truth. The truth comes to our consciousness through the vision. Since it is from the subconscious, we know intuitively it is the truth. The truth manifests itself. There can be no doubt. How can I be sure I keep having visions? Stop wanting them. Have you ever heard of the farmer who thought he might run out of water? He drilled a well and capped it. Then he drilled another well and capped that one too. Then he drilled a third well and a fourth and a fifth. So busy was he drilling that he never had time to use the water he already had. Most people are like that, I think. They are so busy seeking the truth that they totally forget to use the truth they already know. Visions will come as you need them. If you do not have them, then obviously you have all that you need for the moment. Why do you seek after visions? Is it not because you lack trust and faith in yourself? What is a vision experience like? Let me answer this question with an illustration. This example is a vision I had about 4 years ago, one which has profoundly affected my thoughts and life since. This vision came in a dream. I awoke in the middle of the night and felt compelled to write down some symbols and words. I then went back to sleep. In the morning, I looked at what I had created and realized that I had not created it. I was only a channel through which a message had come. As you will see, the principles of the universe and the paths to enlightenment or darkness are modern symbols, but the message is ageless. I'll share with you now what I understand the vision to mean. This is a vision of life, life as it is and can be on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual planes. In reality, the whole of life on all planes is mental. This is the principle of mentalism. Matter, emotions, and thoughts are just different forms of energy. We speak of the planes as separate in order that our self-limited awareness can more readily comprehend. But in fact, there are no separate planes. All is one. All is mental. The symbol of the principle of mentalism is the line which encompasses all the other symbols and principles. It represents totality, the universe. Within the universe, which is all-inclusive, the foundation is the I Am. The I Am is the power, the source, and the strength of all people and of all things. The I Am is the reality of existence. The I Am is existence. The symbol for the I Am is the pyramid, a figure which sits firmly and solidly on the ground yet points upwards. This too is the I Am. It is the basic law, the foundation of the other laws. And at the same time, it points to all the other laws. Have you ever noticed when you look at a pyramid that your eyes quite naturally rise to the top? Try it. Then try this. Think about the I Am concept. Think about the I Am concept within yourself. Does not your consciousness also rise, just as your eyes did? Can you not feel the uplift of your spirit? The I Am is impersonal power. Being neither positive nor negative, it is ours to use as we choose. This is the meaning of the law of choice. Each individual has the right to choose how he will use the principles of the universe. They can be used for enlightenment and creation, or they can be used for darkness and destruction. One positive, one negative, balanced over the impersonal power of the I Am. The task of man, both in his personal life and in the universe at large, is to transmute the negative to the positive. An impossible task? No, not at all. Remember, everything is mental. The difference between negative and positive is mental. The way to transmute negative to positive is to think it so. See the positive in the negative, and the negative disappears. Think of death and destruction as a cleansing, a clearing away for a new birth, and the sense of negativity vanishes. However, until you can totally transmute negative to positive, you will experience negativity in those areas of your life where you choose the negative path. The principle of correspondence refers to the alignment of the physical, mental, and spiritual planes. We've also referred to this as the harmony between the conscious, subconscious, and the superconscious. When these are aligned, the power of the I Am flows through. The greater the alignment, the greater the power. The symbol used is that of two iron balls. The one with the molecules aligned displays a force called magnetism. The one without alignment does not. The one ball attracts, the other is subject to the forces around it. To determine whether or not your levels are in alignment, you need only look at your relationship to your environment. Do you attract what is positive, good, and beneficial? Or are you subject to the forces that are around you? Which path do you follow? The principle of vibration refers to what is often called conscious awareness. Each person or thing, being in reality energy, has a vibration. The vibration is the essence of the person or thing. To raise your vibration is to increase your awareness, to be more in tune within the infinite. To lower your vibration is to lose awareness and feel more separated from the infinite. The symbol used to represent the principle of vibration is the triangle. Inverted, it starts at a point and expands upward. Is this not change in the direction of growth? This, then, is the positive application of the principle. The negative side of the principle is shown by the triangle resting on its base. Here, the change is downward to the point, or decay. The positive pathway is one of growth. The negative pathway is one of decay. The choice, as always, is yours. How do you relate to others? What means do you use to control love or hate? The principle of polarity illustrates the opposites of controlling through love or hate. To control through love is to always do what is best for the individuals involved. It is to put their needs first, withdrawing your own personal interests. This is total fairness. This is total love. The opposite is to put your own interests above all else, to do anything and everything that promotes your desire, no matter what the effect is to anyone around you. It is more than not caring. It is purposefully not caring. Is this not hate? The peace of mind square is the symbol used to represent the principle of polarity. The way of love is the win-win way, which results in peace of mind. The way of hate is a win-lose situation. The result is an illusionary peace of mind. If you choose the way of hate, your victories, successes, and peace will vanish into thin air like the mirages of water on a barren desert. The principle of rhythm refers to the flow of life. Does your life hold an even keel, balanced and controlled even through rough seas? Or is it battered by the waves, rising and falling with even the smallest storms? The first way is the way of balance, symbolized with a pair of balances. The second way is the way of the pendulum, forever rising and falling. To travel the positive path is the way to create balance. To travel the negative path is to forever ride the swinging pendulum. Maslow's theory of needs is the symbolism used to illustrate the principle of cause and effect. The theory states that man seeks awareness, self-actualization, only when his basic physical needs are satisfied. The lower levels of the pyramid represent these needs: the need for food, shelter, and the need for security. The middle level is the need of belonging, which is acceptance. And the next level up is the need of esteem. And finally, the top level is the need of self-actualization, the need to be all that you can be. The person who chooses the negative pathway is caught like a pawn in the lower levels of needs. He experiences the effect of the forces around him. He reacts. His life is a reaction to perceived external forces. The opposite is the self-leader. Here is the person who is the cause, the moving force, in his reality. He is striving to be all that he is able to be, so his needs lie at the top of the pyramid. Now, the principle of gender refers to the masculine and the feminine balance within each individual. Each person has both, the masculine representing strength, intelligence, and decisiveness, and the feminine representing intuitive knowledge, gentleness, and agape love. The person on the positive path works to achieve a balance between the masculine and the feminine, as symbolized by the symmetric quadric cross. Where one nature dominates, either masculine or feminine, there is no balance, and without balance, power diminishes. Now, at the top of the vision of life is the law of individualization. The person who has chosen to follow the positive path feels a oneness with all life. He is but a point of awareness whose base is connected to all others. All are one. All is the I am. This is enlightenment, light. The opposite is living with a feeling of separation. The self is seen as distinct from all others. Light cannot penetrate the millions of overlapping cells. Hence, each lives in darkness. The darkness is in our perception. It comes from seeing the outer and not the inner. The positive path is in a line. It is the way of alignment. The negative path, on the other hand, is out of line. The path you follow is your choice. You've already made a choice. The results in your life point to the path you follow. Is it the one you wish to follow? If not, then do something about it. The steps are very clear. When I saw this vision of life 4 years ago, it pulled all the concepts together in my mind. I saw how they related to each other and how each one supported all the others. At the same time, I also knew intuitively those areas where I needed personally to work. How could I have missed this before, I thought. It's so obvious. But that is the key to a vision. A vision makes the unobserved obvious. Words and drawings cannot do justice to the colorful three-dimensional vision of life I saw. That which has been presented to you is but the surface. I leave it to you individually to find the depths through your own visions. Is there a vision for Sai? Yes, there is. The vision of life is also a vision for the way of life, a way of positive life for mankind. The Sai way is a positive way of life. It is a way to a life of liberty. The Sai seminars, workshops, and activities are the vehicles to that way of life. They transport you from one point to another. This is what I meant when I said Sai is a vehicle to make the world more positive. Sai is a vehicle to liberty. What specifically is the Sai way of life? The Sai way of life is a life of growth based on results. Judging by results only is the first key to keeping yourself on the positive path. Those who like you will always tell you the positive. Those who dislike you will always tell you the negative. Only by results in your own life can you give an unbiased picture. The only way to judge is by results, often harsh, but always fair. The second key to a life of growth is to personally accept the responsibility for those results. Know you created the results. It was not done for you or to you. Consciously or unconsciously, you are responsible for all your experiences, pleasant or otherwise. This means that if you do not like something in your life, you are responsible for changing it. If you need a break or an opportunity, you create it. So many people sit around and wait for that golden opportunity, which rarely comes. The reality is you have an opportunity every day of your life. That opportunity is the opportunity to do something for someone else, to be of service to mankind. Why do so many say they want to serve and so few take the opportunity? I do not know. But I do know that each of us has the chance every day of our lives. And it does not matter whether we are confined to a hospital bed, locked in a prison, or working 70 hours a week. Now, the third key to a fulfilling life is to recognize that all limits are imaginary walls built by finite minds. The universe is yours, if you will but ask for it. There are no excuses. Forget the word can't. You can. When you choose, you can create wealth. You can become a leader of leaders. You can become an expert in your chosen field. You can discover new fields. You can lend a hand to mankind. You can create a healthy body. You can do all these things and any more you can imagine. You can face every problem and hardship and come out the winner. You can look at the darkest storm and see through it to the bright sunlight. There are no limits. Quote, there is no problem conceived that man cannot solve. Quote by Dr. Samuel Johnson. Now, to play with a win-win strategy is the fourth key to growth and fulfillment. In the past, we were told to practice the golden rule. Well, it's all the same, to treat others with fairness as we would like to be treated ourselves. When you understand the law of individualization, all are one, then you have no choice. To harm another is to harm yourself. Would you willingly cut off your arm, injure your foot, or bang your head against the wall? Then how can you do such things to others? How can you justify making another human being, your brother or sister, feel bad, experience financial ruin, or face loss? It doesn't matter their color, their race, their nationality, or social standing. They are you. There is only one way to serve yourself, and that is to serve others. To be of service to mankind is the fifth key to the life we all seek. The greatest service one can give is to be all he can be and to do all that he can do to raise the vibration of mankind. Each person must look within to find the best means available to achieve this great goal. Sai was created from such a desire. Many years ago, I pledged to myself to keep Sai the most effective vehicle to serve mankind that I could create. I pledged to continually change Sai as needed, based on results. This is a pledge I intend to keep. Sai is the best vehicle I know to make a more positive world. A life based on these five keys, service, win-win strategies, expanded limits, personal responsibility, and results, is a life of peace, love, joy, and liberty. I think it's the best type of life that exists, and it is the one I have chosen to lead. I invite each of you to join me in living this way, the Tsai way. The Tsai way of life I have described is the ideal. It is the way my family and I and those who join us strive to live. However, we are not perfect yet. I know I still have areas where I must concentrate, still spots to perfect. Life is a growth process for all. Is there any room for me in Tsai? Yes, there is room for all those who truly desire to become part of Tsai. There are many ways to be a part of Tsai. Just living a Tsai way of life is being a part of Tsai, and so is telling a friend, or donating to Tsai World, or helping on a Tsai service project. Aiding, building, and teaching seminars are also available to those motivated in that direction. In fact, there are as many ways to be a part of Tsai as there are individuals. I challenge you to create your own way. So what is the next step? Well, the next step is you. Eagerly, students ask, what is the next class I take? Where do I go from here? What do I study next? If you're still seeking the answers to your questions and problems in a class or a teacher or a book, you have missed the point. The answer is not outside, it is within. You already have the answers to all your own questions and solutions to your own problems. In fact, too heavy a reliance on classes, books, or teachers can be detrimental, for they keep you from doing the one thing that you must do, which is to make permanent mental changes. To be successful, you must change your thought pattern from what it is now to that of success. To be healthy, you must replace the illness thought patterns permanently with healthy ones. To keep looking for the answer is to affirm that you have not made the change. When the change is made permanently, there is no need to look. You see, it's very easy to change your thoughts for a short period of time. It happens all the time in classes, workshops, and meetings. The positive atmosphere around you, an instructor reaffirming the truths, and people supporting your new ideas and thought patterns, make it easy to change. You say, I'm going to meditate for half an hour in the morning and evening each day. And I'm going to practice the win-win strategy. I'm going to serve my fellow man. Then you go home, back to the office, back to the atmosphere of negativity and competition. 5 days later, you're meditating only once a day for half an hour, and your service is regulated to the weekends. 5 months later, you're not even doing that. At this point, the thought may occur to you that you need another class. Well, you don't really. All you need is to put the last one into action again. You had it for a moment, but you did not hang on to it. The trouble is not in changing thoughts, but in keeping thoughts changed. What we need to do is to keep the thoughts and attitudes the same as the day we finished that last class. I like to imagine each morning when I wake up that yesterday was the class. Positive thoughts and warm feelings flood into my consciousness. I feel revived, refreshed, and ready to get on with it. Yesterday was the class. What does making yesterday the class do? It creates a trigger device for the positive, uplifted mental attitude. It starts a free-flowing stream of positive thoughts, feelings, and images, which carries throughout the day. My thought is now totally concentrated on the positive, not through willpower, which would be hard work, but rather through replacement. I have replaced all negative and undesired thoughts with their positive equivalent. This is the way to maintain a steady and permanent thought change. For every problem or situation you desire to change, create a trigger device to stimulate the positive equivalent. The problem will be solved and the situation changed to the degree you can keep that positive equivalent in your thoughts. When the positive equivalent is the only thing in your thoughts, then the change in the thought and attitude is permanent, and you will have manifested the result in your reality. For example, let us suppose your problem is one of poverty. I'll bet that you've spent hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours thinking about that lack and what you would do if only you had the money. Remember, wishful thinking is a reaffirmation of the problem. The positive equivalent to a poverty thought attitude is an abundance thought attitude. Thus, the task is to replace poverty thoughts permanently with abundance thoughts. Visualizing yourself in abundance is a start and could be used as a trigger device. Do not expect, however, that visualizing 10 minutes or even 20 minutes a day is going to do it. What we want to create is a constant, steady stream of abundance thoughts. Wherever you look, you see abundance. Every moment you are surrounded by abundance. Look around yourself now and see the abundance. Is there not an abundance of stimulating books to read? An abundance of interesting people to learn from? An abundance of useful things to buy with a $5 bill? An abundance of entertainment, TV, parks, games, many of which are available for free. An abundance of help programs, an abundance of jobs, just look in the want ads of your local newspaper. An abundance of money, just add up the salaries of those jobs in the want ads. It comes to millions in large city, somewhat less in smaller towns. When you can see the abundance around you, you will then be able to see the opportunities to partake of that abundance. To think is to create. To think abundance is to create abundance. But it must be a permanent, steady thought pattern. How great can you be? I'd like for you to think about this for a moment and then answer the following questions. Answer the questions realistically with your true feelings. Only you will know the answers. Write your answers down so that you'll have a permanent record of them. And then each day turn to those answers, if need be, to remind yourself of who you are and what you can do. Here's the questions. Number one, how much money can you earn in a year? Number two, how soon can you get your body into good condition? Number three, with how many people can you easily communicate? Number four, how high can you rise in your company? Or if self-employed, how big can your company become? Number five, how long will it take for you to become the expert in your field? Number six, how soon will you achieve liberty? Number seven, what is the greatest service you can give to mankind? Number eight, what is your heart's desire, the one thing you personally desire most in the world? Okay. Have you answered each question truthfully? Not with wishful thinking, but with honest responses representing your beliefs and limits as they now stand? If the answer is yes, continue. Otherwise, turn off the tape. There's no point in going on. Still here? Now, I challenge you to be more than you say you can be. I dare you to push your limits outward. You can achieve all those things you listed because you can conceive of them. You have conceived of them. I dare you to conceive of greater things. I dare you to do more, be more, achieve more. I dare you to double the amount you can earn in a year and do it. I dare you to cut the time you listed to get your body in shape by a third and do it in half the time. I dare you to triple the number of people you listed as an answer to question three. I dare you to rise to the top of your company and double its size. I dare you to go back to school to read and research in your field or to do whatever it takes to become the expert in your field, to become the best. I dare you to achieve liberty faster. And I double dare you to find a greater service to mankind. I dare you to achieve your heart's desire. Do you feel like changing some of your answers? Well, go back and do it. Go ahead and change those answers each time you dare to do more, to be more, and to achieve more. Be all that you can be. You are a circle without circumference. You are infinite. You are one with the universe. You are the universe. You are infinite power. You are God. You are the I am. You are. Peace, love, and liberty already are with you. Dare to claim them for your own.